feel them already bouncing up and down. Didn't John do a good job in the youth meeting this week? He got thrown in the fire trying to control everything and groups, different groups getting up. And I appreciate John and his hard work already taking on that aspect of the ministry. Believe the Lord to bless him for it. Romans chapter number 1, stand with me. Read several verses this morning. Once you just kind of soak it in as we read through. And I want to focus in on a statement that is made in chapter 1 and a statement that is made in the closing chapter and verses of Romans 16. Verse number 1, the Bible said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. I like this phrase. I'm not necessarily preaching on this phrase, but I'm going to preach on it soon because it keeps coming up in my study. For obedience to the faith. For obedience to the faith. For obedience to the faith. Amen. You say, how do you know that you're saved? Because I have exercised obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. Amen. Among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. And here's a phrase we want to center in upon here in a moment, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, that's the opening 12 verses of this letter the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome. Can I read you the last three verses of this letter in chapter number 16, where Paul said, and we'll preach primarily from chapter 16, all of it, but we use these verses to set the context. He said, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations. And here's that phrase again, for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Now, amen. After Paul wrote all them 16 chapters, all them wondrous, wondrous doctrines he delivered to you and I, amen, a Gentile bride, he just said, only way to end all this, say a good hearty amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I do pray that you would help us today in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the hymns that we've been able to sing, the good word that's already been delivered in teaching and instruction, the challenge, and Lord, the help we receive there. We don't take that lightly. And now, Lord, it's time to stand here and proclaim, Lord, the Word of God one more time. Help us as we try to expound upon this subject, Lord, that, Lord, is taking up the theme of the Word of God, Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done that mankind might be saved. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that we would be stirred in our hearts as, Lord, we, Lord, preach to these, or most everybody, far as we know this here today, Lord, claims profession in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have received you and your son as Lord and as Savior. Lord, they believed on your name, and Lord, they're trusting in the one that was crucified, buried, raised again, Lord, for their salvation. And Lord, we are thankful for their profession. We're thankful for our own. But Lord, I pray this morning as we get into this practical matter, the gospel in relation to our lives today, Lord, would you challenge us again? Lord, a lot we could say. And Lord, we just kind of had to limit it, Lord, to one chapter and one passage. But Lord, I pray this morning the few things we give, may Lord, it stir our heart, enlarge this truth, Lord, in every area of our life. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I don't know about you. I'm sure you'll bear witness with this with an amen. And that is, I thank God for the book of Romans. The book of Romans is, I believe, a foundational book for the doctrines that we embrace and believe as Bible believers. A lot of things are cleared up and we receive insight as Paul takes the Holy Scripture of old and makes application to these truths that we, the Gentiles, have been so estranged from and alienated from. And in many regards and aspects, having not even knowledge of it. And what the Apostle Paul does throughout the book of Romans is bring to you and I, Gentiles, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, brings you and I these depths of doctrines concerning what Jesus has done and who Jesus is, and shines the light through the pages of Holy Scripture that we can understand. Amen. What we have in this beloved salvation that has been imparted to you and I. And when we study the book of Romans and the background of it, one thing is interesting to me is that Paul writes to these people that, and you'll find that he seems to count them to be beloved. And they are dear to his heart. They are near to his heart. In fact, he communicates that in the opening verses that we read this morning that there is something in his heart that is attached to them. When you read the closing chapter in Romans 16, we'll look at it in a moment, but he gives greetings and salutations by name to different men and women and families that were within that local assembly at Rome. You said, preacher, what is interesting about that? What is interesting about that is that the Apostle Paul had never been to Rome. He had never preached in Rome. He didn't establish the church that was there. He was not the preacher of the gospel that that crowd had heard and embraced and was saved by. And yet the gospel had outrun Paul, if you will, and had already been preached in Rome. And sinners had heard it. Sinners had believed it. Sinners were saved. And those that were sinners were made saints. That's what he said in verse number 7. All that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And so sinners had been made saints, and saints had been formed into a local New Testament Bible-believing, gospel-preaching assembly. And Paul is writing to them, a group that he has never seen, a group that he has never laid eyes on, a group that Paul has only heard about their faith. He's only heard about the testimony of what Jesus has done in their life. And yet the witness that Paul has heard has laid such an impression upon his life. And Paul makes several statements such as, amen, he has this great over heart desire. And he could go there to see them in person. He makes statements like, I want to have fruit among you also. I want to be there and impart to you some spiritual gift and blessing if God would so lead my life and ministry there. And when you study the Apostle Paul's life and ministry, you'll find that one of the driving forces that God called to Rome, we would say would be persecution. And yet I don't believe that's what God Paul where he was. In fact, and I'm kind of getting bogged down already. You'll understand Paul sets his mind, I'm going to Rome.
amen, really going to Jerusalem, and there's several people God puts in his path. And they say, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. You'll be arrested and you'll be sent to Rome. And it'll cost you your life. And yet Paul had such a desire to make it to Rome, he didn't care if it was going to cost him his life. He didn't care the shackles that would be put upon his hands. He didn't care, my friend, what kind of affliction would be brought to his life. He had heard of the faith in this crowd. He wanted to preach there. And he wanted to meet them. He wanted to see it for himself. And my friend, indeed, through the means of persecution, Paul found his way eventually to the church, or the city rather, of Rome. And there indeed he did preach the gospel, and many sinners were saved as a result of the ministry of Paul in Rome. And it did eventually cost him his life. And so he has a unique relationship. And at the penning of the book of Romans, Paul has never been there. And yet Paul writes to them with great intimacy and detail, no doubt paving the way. What he is writing is paving the way for the ministry he desires to have among them. As we read the book of Romans, we have focused our attention upon particularly verses 13 through 17, where we have them great verses concerning the gospel. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also who are at Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we go on to talk about it's in the gospel and by the gospel that the righteousness of God has been revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we've been focusing upon the gospel. And we dealt with the power of the gospel. We dealt with the preaching of the gospel. And that's all I'll say about what we've covered already, because I got to hurry up. Amen. When we consider the book of Romans as a whole, here is what we find, that the book of Romans, and many preachers have used this, I use it this morning because it makes sense to me. And when you study the book of Romans, it can be divided into two sections. Now, it's one book, but amen, when you read it, you'll find in Romans 1 through Romans 5 that it is deeply doctrinal. And Paul covers things concerning creation and salvation and what Jesus has done. He reaches back into the old and speaks of what God did for Abraham and God did for David, and brings into the Gentile saints and says, amen, we are justified and saved by the same means that Abraham had received, believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is the grounds and the mode of our salvation. That it always has been and always will being saved by grace through faith. And Paul deals with those doctrines and quotes from David and deals with the fact that we've been estranged, and yet we've been privileged to be brought into this glorious salvation. Amen. That where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound. And he deals with the depths of the doctrines of salvation and justification, and comes to you and I by faith and, my friend, the grace of God. And when you come into Romans chapter number 6, Paul says in verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? And grace may abound. And beginning in Romans 6 through chapter number 16, we would say that Paul begins to embark upon them not only doctrine, but what their duty is in light of that doctrine. And he deals with our behavior, our victory over sin, what it is to be born of the Spirit and to walk after the Spirit, that, my friend, we have victory over sin and over temptation. And though we grieve and we stumble through life and we go through trials, we can make it and are comforted by, amen, the doctrines that we believed the day we got saved. Amen. It reminds you and I of our Christian duty in society. and to government and upon our job and to spread the gospel. And he deals with all sorts of things as is concerned with our duty. And you say, preacher, how does that have anything to do with the gospel? And my answer to you would be it has everything to do with the gospel. Amen. In fact, when you study the book of Romans, you'll find that Paul uses the word gospel 13 times in 16 of these chapters. It's more time than the entire book of 1 Corinthians. In fact, it's more times than any letter Paul would ever write. He references the gospel in these 16 chapters. And so he began speaking of the gospel that he has been separated unto. Amen. The gospel of God. He's called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God. He reminds them it's the gospel that made them saints and has brought them into salvation. And all through Romans 1 and even Romans 2, he's talking about the gospel. And then he makes his way through them. We come to the closing verses we read a moment ago. And Paul brings them back in conclusion to this matter of the gospel. And so from beginning, literally the very beginning, to literally the end, amen, Paul has in mind the gospel. And the gospel affects all of our doctrine. It affects everything we believe. And the gospel that we want to focus in upon this morning, or the truth of it, is that the gospel greatly affects our behavior. Amen. In fact, can I make this statement this morning? And thus far in our preaching, we've dealt primarily with, amen, the gospel, as Paul said in Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation. And when, Brother Mo, we think of the gospel, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Amen. I'm saved today because, amen, somebody preached the gospel to me. Amen. Somebody told me that Jesus died, amen, according to the scripture and was buried. And thank God rose again according to the scripture. And I put my faith in the man that did that for me. I put my trust in, amen, the one that fulfilled that. I repented to the God that made that possible. And so I've not believed in vain, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. Listen, that is in my mind. That is in my remembrance. That is ever before me, that I am saved by the power of the gospel. Amen. But can I say this in you? Amen. If you don't write it down on paper, you write it down on your heart. Amen. It is contrary to the gospel to want it to save your soul but not change your life. May I say that again? It is contrary to everything Paul would ever say about the gospel. It is contrary to everything that Christ preached about the gospel and wanting to save your soul and yet deny its change in your life. And so Paul would write in the book of Romans, here is what the gospel, what we embrace by way of the gospel. Amen. And he takes us from Adam to Moses too. Amen. We're all sinners. We're all condemned. And Moses says through the law that there is no salvation save that Jesus died, amen, for our sin and be raised again for our justification. And all of that, my friend, is what we need to save our soul. And then he spends the majority of this letter writing about what the impact of the gospel and its saving of our soul, amen, the impression it ought to make upon our life from day to day. Amen. Amen. Y'all could say amen right there. Amen. The gospel, you say, amen, for many is just some fire insurance out of hell. Amen. It's something they falsely claim to believe and profess. But my friend, listen, the gospel, amen, the gospel is as pertinent to your Christian life as it was to the salvation of your soul. Amen. You take Jesus out of your salvation, you're still lost. Amen. You deny His sonship. You deny His lordship. Amen. You deny His work in Calvary in the empty grave. Amen. You take Jesus out of there and you are not saved. You're still a sinner under condemnation. Amen. You're still a sinner, my friend, as lost as a ball in hand weeds. You do not know the power of the new birth if you take Jesus Christ out of your salvation. My friend, listen. Amen. It wasn't just that I needed Christ to save me. My friend, I need Christ in my day-to-day life. I live in victory, to live in comfort, to live in peace. And so the gospel is not something that, amen, touches my life in the moment of salvation. It is something, my friend, I embrace. And therein, I believe we can quote Paul again, it's the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that the just shall live by his faith. Amen. I didn't just believe on it in the day I got saved and that was good enough. Oh no, friend, I believed it on that day. Been believing it ever since. Amen. Amen. I've been, listen, I didn't understand all of it when I got saved. Amen. No more than you did. You watch this crowd say, well, I understood it all. Amen. I've been saved 25 years nearly. I'm still, Brother Mo, learning what it is. Amen. What Jesus did for me. Amen. What Jesus afforded me. I didn't know it all, but I knew enough to know I was lost and on the road to hell. I knew enough to know Jesus did enough. Amen. To pay for my sin. Amen. And I got gloriously saved. And since that day of believing the gospel, amen, that gospel has been teaching me more and more. Amen. Amen. And so the gospel this morning, amen, listen, Paul states it in Romans 1 and in verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. He's writing to people who's already saved. He's writing to people that he said the whole world has heard about your faith. The whole world knows about your obedience to Christ. They know how you serve God. They know the testimony about all the sin that you used to be wrapped up in. But in a moment of time, the gospel of Christ changed your life. They know how you serve the Lord. They know your unfeigned and unwavering faith. Amen. And yet Paul said, I desire to come to you. Amen. You still need to be established. Amen. There's still things you need to learn. There's still things you need to grow in. Amen. And Paul, from the beginning of this letter, says, amen, there's some things you need to be established in. I would remind you this morning, you don't know it all. Amen. You've not arrived at the pinnacle of what it is to be a child of God. Amen. You've not learned all there is to know about the gospel and its effect upon our lives. And Paul is saying, amen, you may have a good testimony yet, and you may be saved, but Paul said there is still room for you to be established. He comes back to this point in the closing of these verses here in verse number 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Again, I would remind you, he's writing to believers. He is saying that you have believed it and it saved your soul, and you have this great testimony of salvation and what you have allowed the Spirit of the Lord to do in your life. He said, but don't get far from the gospel. Amen. Don't leave the gospel out of your life from day to day. Amen. Don't bypass preaching. Amen. Don't think you don't have room to grow. Amen. Because it is that same gospel that saved you and will work in your life and grow you in your life. Amen. Everything we are, all that we are in salvation and all that we are as the saints of God, is anchored in and grounded in and founded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul reminds them that there was a time the Gentiles had, had no knowledge of this. It was a mystery. It was a secret to you and I. Amen. We were, Paul would say in other places, aliens and strangers. from the commonwealth of Israel. Amen. Friend, we couldn't come. Amen. Apart from being proselyted, apart from, amen, the conversion of the new birth. Amen. We could not be brought into that, then in our birth. And by the Gentile nations and religions that we were bound to for so long. Amen, friend, it took a sovereign commandment of God. Amen, to say, amen, after the Jews had hardened their heart and God blinded their eyes and they could not see. And but Jesse Paul said in Romans 16, I received a commandment of God to carry it and shine the light of that gospel to the Gentile nations. You realize where we'd be this morning had it not been for the gospel? Amen. We'd all still be enslaved to moonshine and rebellion and idolatry and new age ways of thinking. But thank God, amen, the gospel got preached to the Gentiles. And it ain't, and listen, we ain't in the dark anymore. We have received, amen, what God commanded, that the gospel be made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith.
Amen.
Amen. And Paul, let me give you this in light of this thing of the gospel. Amen. It saved you. You owe. Amen. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But you owe, having the gospel preached to you, you owe it to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. And so, amen, we come to, after having discussed the power and the preaching of the gospel, let me make this statement here in this word established or established that is used in Romans 1 and Romans 16. Paul is stating here that the gospel is to establish us in our walk with God. Can I put it this way? That is, the gospel not only provides for our salvation, but it presides for our establishing. It provides for our salvation, but it presides, it remains, it dwells, it grows, it gets bigger, it brings more foundation. Amen. It presides for our establishing.
Amen.
As a child of God, you cannot ignore the gospel and expect to be a strong Christian. Amen. Amen. Now to Him, I see the person, this presiding power of the gospel. Amen. There's three things attached to it. This is just, amen, a little introductory thought. I see the person. Amen. Now to Him that is of power. Amen. To establish you according to my gospel. Amen. Paul was not the one. Paul ain't talking about himself. He ain't talking about Peter, John, or James. Amen. He ain't talking about their mamas and their daddies and their preachers. Amen. Now to Him that is of power. You say, who is that? That is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. May I say, the presiding power of the gospel, amen, is there by Jesus Christ Himself. You see, here's what Paul said, and I don't want to, amen, fall into a semantics game here, but amen, you remember what the Apostle Paul said. Amen. He said, I know in whom I have believed. Amen. You see, Paul wasn't believing in what? He wasn't just believing a historical fact that Jesus died and was buried and raised again. It was beyond the head knowledge. Yet it was beyond the history. Amen. Paul said, oh, no, no, no. I'm not believing in what. I'm believing in whom. I know in whom I have believed. Amen. The one that, amen, allows the power of the gospel to reside in my life. Amen. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one who died. He's the one who is buried. He's the one that ever lives. Amen. Friend, the work of the gospel in our life is done by the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. I say again this morning, and maybe I won't make it much further than this. Amen. You take Jesus out of your life. Amen. Child of God, you ignore the one who has the power in your life. Amen. That one that can establish you. Amen. You ignore Jesus. Amen. You'll fall on your face today before the sun goes down. Amen. We will be what we are and what we become in days to come, however great or small that'll be. Amen. I am what I have by the grace of Jesus Christ. There is the person that Paul touches on in this text. Amen. The person. Amen. Ain't you glad you know Jesus Christ? Amen. I'm glad I'm trusting what? Amen. I'm trusting the Son of God. I'm trusting the Lord of glory. You say, how do you know He's got the power? Amen. Because I believe He died and was buried and raised again. Amen. There ain't anyone else that has that kind of power. I ain't trusting Buddha today. I ain't trusting you today, nor should you trust me. And my friend, I'm telling you that what God has done in my life since I've been saved has done it, my friend, by at presiding in the gospel. And Jesus is the person and the reason why. Amen. Amen. That's why Paul would say, amen, everywhere he'd go, amen, he would write and say, I wouldn't have known anything among you save Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what Paul would say? Amen. In the moments you get saved. Amen. And every day from that day to the day you go to glory. Amen. Jesus is all that matters. He's the only one that can do for you what needs to be done. Yeah. Amen. Thank God today. Amen. For the mercy of the presiding of the gospel in our life. He walks with me, talks with me. The old songwriter said, he tells me I am his own. Amen. I'm glad that I know Jesus today. Amen. This is life eternal. Amen. Jesus said in John 17. Amen. This is life eternal. That they may know thee, the only true God, and his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, the presiding of the gospel in my life today. Amen. It ain't about me keeping rules and regulations and laws and commandments. Amen. All of that is for the carnal man. The saved man inside of me. Brother Riley is tapped in. Amen. To the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, don't you ever forget that you don't have the power to establish yourself. You say, preacher, I know. I know the gospel forward and backward. Amen. That's all good. But if you leave out the power of the one who is able to establish you, all you have is a bunch of facts. All you have, my friend, is a historical knowledge. It is about walking with the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's why I get a little sour when I hear this trail talking about, well, it don't really matter what you believe. It doesn't matter, you know, there's room for everybody no matter who or what you trusted. Friend, I'm telling you that ain't so. Amen, it does matter. Amen, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the way. Amen, Jesus said, amen, you have to come to me as the way. He said, I know why they don't. Cause men love darkness rather than light. It calls their deeds are evil. I bless God for the day, Rentia. And I met the light of the world, yeah, and his legs shone down in my leg. Amen. He brought me out of sin and out of darkness. He brought me, my friend, into the light. And he offered the light. Amen. And now I've been walking with him ever since. Amen. Amen. The person. The person. Jesus Christ. It's all introduction. I mean, like literally in my notes. Amen. Amen. That's all I got right there. I'm talking about the person. But Larry, the person. Some of this crowd wants to argue this and that. Amen. You know what? Amen. At the end of the day, it's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. It ain't up for debate. He ain't up for debate. You say, well, Well, he's the only one. Listen, now to him that is of power. Now to him that is of power. Amen. You say, preacher, I feel like I'm not growing like I ought to grow. I feel like I'm not strong as I ought to be. I feel like I'm being torn apart limb from limb. Amen. I'm going to tell you, my friend, where your hope's at today as a child of God. Amen. It is in the Jesus Christ. It's the one who has the power, amen, to establish your spiritual life.
Amen.
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 The person. Let me say number two. I ain't going to get out the introduction. Amen. Notice not only the person, but there's an aspect of what we call the preaching. I had to have the gospel preached to me when I was lost so I could be saved. Born again this morning because somebody preached the gospel to me. Amen. Somebody said you must be born again. Amen. Somebody said you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody said, and after all Jesus has done, amen, for you, that, amen, you must exercise repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, that's what Paul dealt with in Romans 10. Amen. About the necessity of preaching. Amen. To them that are lost. Amen. To them that, my friend, are still wayward. Amen. The only hope they have is that God Almighty chose the foolishness of preaching. Amen. To introduce the gospel to sinners. He didn't choose puppet shows. And he didn't choose pizza nights. And my friend, he didn't even choose singing. Amen. He chose old-fashioned leather-lung preaching of the gospel to bring sinners into salvation. We've already dealt with that. I shouldn't even be taking this much time on preaching for a sinner to be saved. But Paul is writing, Brother Mike, to people who's already been saved. Notice what he said. He said, now to him that is the power, that's the person, to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. In other words, he said, I've heard, and the whole world's heard about the day some preacher, and we don't know who he was, Brother Gerald. They don't know who it was, showed up in Rome and preached to them. I don't know who outran Paul. Amen. But somebody got down there and preached to them. And now Paul said, I know. Everybody in the world knows about the day you heard the preached gospel of Christ.
Amen.
You got saved. Now he says, don't forget you still need preaching in your life. You see, the presiding of the gospel in our life, when the word of God is preached, when Jesus is delivered through means of preaching, through means of the communication of the word of God, amen, there is in that, amen, truth that is given, there is in that light for the child of God to walk in. Amen. May I say in this hour, and God never ordained parachurch organizations. Amen. He didn't ordain, my friend, some of this mumbo jumbo, amen, ways of religion that we hear about in our day. Who say, preacher, how does the gospel presiding in me, how will it establish my life? Amen. You show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and bless God, you'll get enough truth to keep you alive spiritually. Amen. It'll keep you going when you want to quit. Amen. It'll drive you on when you want to throw in the towel. And when sin is just about ruined and wrecked your life, it'll be preaching that'll magnify the Lord Jesus and His gospel in your life. And it gets you back on the straight and the narrow way. Amen. Living for God again. Thank God for preaching.
Amen.
Boy, I didn't know this going to preach like this. Hallelujah. Brother A.L., I'm glad today. Ain't some men of God won't bow down. Amen. A bunch of mossy bags. And say, we don't want that. They stopped their ears, and they want to debate and argue about what that book says. I'm telling you today, my life is what it is. Oh, they've been some men of God, and it played.
welled through my soul, amen, and turned over my heart, and that gospel bore witness that what they was preaching was right, and my life has been established. By preaching. Amen. You see the gospel presiding in us. When truth is preached, the gospel says, amen, that's right.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Oh, Brother Bob, the gospel presiding in me says, I bear witness with that.
Right.
Amen. You see, my friend, I've had the word preached to me so deep and strong. If you come at me with a bunch of stuff that ain't in that book, there's something on the inside that says, nope, that ain't right. I ain't embracing that. I ain't touching that. I ain't going that way. I'm not living my life by those means. I'm not embracing that doctrine. And the gospel, amen, establishes us. Paul said there's a person you can't be established without Christ and His work in your life. Amen. But Christ has chosen, amen, by means of preaching to bring truth to your life.
Amen. Thank God.
Live in the days of the social club church. Social religion. Everybody wants to come together and have a good time and be made to feel good. And I tell you today, and Brother Mike just said it, amen, it'll send you to hell if you're a sinner. But I tell you what it'll do to you if you are truly born again. It'll kill your spiritual life. I need a man of God to shine the light, the Word of God into me, because there's a gospel presiding in here that longs for me to grow, longs for me to be established, longs for me to be strong, longs for me to have victory. Preaching. Amen. To get the job done. Amen. I know. Sometimes I find myself, man, preaching don't look like it's working anymore. Paul did say in the last days there'd be a time come that they would not endure sound doctrine. I ain't being mean about it. You know why some folk ain't here anymore? Because they could not endure sound doctrine. That ain't everybody, I understand that. But by and large, churches are shrinking today all across this land. You know why? Leaving old-fashioned, independent, King James Bible preaching. You know why they're leaving? Because they cannot, not that they cannot, they will not, Paul said, endure sound doctrine. Amen. I learned a long time ago, it worked in my life. Still working today. This week, I heard some messages, man, geared toward them young folk. And Jesse, while it was being geared toward them young folk, the Holy Ghost was saying, that's exactly right. You need that. You grab that right there and you put that in your life, that'll help establish you. Lucas, I needed it, man. I needed it. I'm thankful for it. The person, the preaching. Notice the praise. Boy, I love this. Amen. He reminds them in the end of verse 25 and verse 26, we ain't always had what we know today. But God let us in on His secret. God opened up the means that we could know and understand and have a relationship with the gospel. Brother Mike, here's how Paul ends all this. He said, to God only wise, be glory. Be glory. Let me get it right. Be glory through Jesus Christ forever. In other words, I call it the praise. Don't ever forget, however much you are established, however strong your spiritual life may seem to be to you or others, no matter what name or testimony you may have among men, never forget you owe everything you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. There ain't no breaking our arm to pat ourselves on the back. Amen. Whatever God would grow me into, whatever the person of Jesus Christ would do in my life, our way of men of God faithfully preaching in my life. Amen. However strong, whatever measure and level of strength that He may allow my life to attain unto. At the end of the day, every one of us got to fall down on bended knee and lift our old sorry, rod-gut hands to a sovereign God and say, I owe it all to Jesus. I owe it all to God for what He's done in my life. Amen. I'm telling you, be the most spiritual among us today. And maybe you are, and maybe you ain't. Amen. But whatever you are, amen, whatever you think you are, amen, you better today give Him the praise and the glory for it all. Amen. It ain't in my pedigree. It ain't in my personality. Amen. It ain't in the programs I've been through. I didn't get educated up to where I am or ain't today. Amen. I owe it all to the Lord. Paul said, I tell you, whatever one of us old Gentile dogs ought to do, fall down on our knees and say, Lord, thank you. Glory to you for saving my soul. Glory to you for helping me in my Christian life. Amen. Thank you for making me a saint. Thank you for birthing me in your family. Thank you for bringing a bunch of outsiders in the inside. Amen. Thank you for taking a bunch of strangers and making us your friends. Amen. Paul is saying, amen, don't forget to praise God for what He's doing in your life. Amen. Boy, this introduction's preaching so good, I may not ever preach the main part. The person, the preaching, the praise. Amen. Without the Lord, you'd still be somewhere out there doing who knows what if you hadn't already had your sorry soul thrown in hell with your back broke. You know why you didn't get up out of some gutter, some ditch somewhere this morning? You know why we woke up today, wasn't slumped over some toilet? Amen. Wondering what in the world did I do last night and who did I do it with? You know why we woke up with a sound, sane mind? Amen. Ready to go to church, knowing we needed to get there, wanting to get there. You know why? Because we owe it all to the Lord. It's all Him. It's all Him. And the glorious power and presiding of His gospel in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. The presiding of the gospel. What does the word establish? I never gave you that, did I? Never got there, did I? You want me to just give it to you real quick? Said, man, all established. He says it's Jesus and preaching, and we ought to thank God for it, but what does that mean? Here's one of the definitions, Brother Larry. It means to set fast. Amen. To set some things securely in your life. This word establish or establishes is used in chapter number 1. It means this. It means to fix firmly. To be steadfast in mind. In the book of Luke, I can't recall the chapter. I'm seeing verse 51. Maybe it's Luke 19. I can't remember, but look up all the verse 51s in the Gospel according to Luke and you'll find it. But here's what the Bible said, Brother Gerald, about Christ. It's the same word established that He set His face. He steadfastly set His face to Jerusalem. Amen. Same words, same idea to be steadfast in mind. That is, Christ was going to Jerusalem and He had made up His mind. Nothing was going to distract Him. Nothing was going to deter Him. Nothing was going to change what God's will and plan was for His life. Why? Because He was established in that fact. It means to confirm. A word I've been using this morning, strengthen. I like this definition. I'll end here. To establish means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. I said, preacher, what do you mean? That presiding gospel in the heart of the believer ought to be what sets the direction for our life. Most folk are governed, their lives are directed by emotion and by passion and about how they feel about something. They got all their little secret worldly codes that govern their life. Men's codes, women's codes, secret codes, secret handshakes, secret nods and winks, friendships, and all these stupid little things people say. If you're a child of God, you know what ought to be directing your life? The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, now to him that is of power to establish you. Jesus and the gospel ought to be the one that turns your life. When you take a step, it ought to be, my friend, in line. It ought to be in step with the gospel. Amen. Everybody all right? Can't live my life in passion and emotion. Some of the greatest mistakes I've ever made in life was when I made an emotional decision. Amen. Say, preacher, what do you let govern your life? What that good book says. What that book says, it's in line with the gospel, is what is to direct my life. I've had to learn the hard way sometimes. Say, but preacher, if I do that, it'll cost me. Yep. Preacher, if I do that, that'll make me uncomfortable. You better believe it will. Preacher, if I do what you're preaching, I'll have to bear some reproach. Exactly. If you don't, you'll never be established. You'll never be established. I didn't even get the message. Ain't that good preaching? Lord have mercy. I felt like preaching Brother Wayne and sitting over there shouting all at the same time. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever get far from the gospel in your Christian life. Amen. Let's stand together. I don't know if that helped. I don't even know really. I'm kind of ending. I want to deal with the whole chapter because he said this, and we may pick it up tonight. That verse 25 said, now. That's a word of time. That's a word that says, all right, what I've just said, what I've just ended saying, what I'm about ready to tell you is very, very pertinent to you being able to do that. And there's some things through chapter number 16 I want to give you. We may get in on it tonight. We'll see about that presiding of the gospel. Amen. How, as it presides, how are we to allow it to work in our life? Amen. And I can't deal with every way that it works in our life, or we'd be here till Jesus comes still preaching it. But I'll give you three things I noted out of chapter number 16. All right, you come back tonight, and we'll do business that way. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us this way today. I pray, Father, as we dismiss now, you do a great work of protection in our life. Lord, I pray we take to heart the things that we've studied and, Lord, declared today. Lord, help us all grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And, Lord, never leave the foundation of all that it rests upon. Lord, that message of the gospel. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prayer room at 5:30.